I'm Mar Dixon. Here's my information because I tend to talk fast and I cover a lot of things, but I'm going to try to make it fun. But if you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me. I'm really approachable. I'm really easy to get a hold of, usually on my phone. First thing I'm going to talk about is social media and why it's important. I run something called Culture Themes. It's an account on Twitter, and we're now on Facebook, and it's a monthly hashtag. That's all it is. Nobody makes money out of it, nobody does anything, but museums around the world once a month get involved in hashtag events that I come up with. And I came up with it because there was a lot of funding cuts about 5-6 years ago, and museums didn't know how to react to those funding cuts. And as somebody who doesn't work in a museum, I was seeing them online with long faces and kind of depressing. And I kept thinking, why am I going to go visit you to see you crying? So I thought, right, we're going to have a hashtag event. And the first hashtag event was called Why I Love Museums. Now, the original idea behind it was that people were just say why they love museums in the UK, which is where the issues were happening. But what happening is people worldwide were saying why they love museums. And museums got to see, actually, you know what, people don't hate us. They might not be able to afford to come every single day, but we do have something worthwhile here. So it kind of built up the museum culture sector's self-esteem, but also the public got to have a relationship with the museums who were corresponding back with them. Very simple thing off of a hashtag. I also run other events. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Ask a Curator Day. I've been running that for about 6 years now for my sins. And again, it goes world trending every single year. This past year, we had over 1,000 museums in 40-some countries sign up to take part in Ask a Curator Day. Again, a very simple concept. I choose a day, I choose a hashtag, and I ask people to get involved. And they do, and they sign up. The museums sign up, and the museums are hilarious because museums keep going, my curator's not going to do this. They hate technology, they hate anything to do with anything that's online. And usually they convince their curator to go online for maybe an hour, and then they're the ones who are at 7 o'clock at night opening a bottle of wine and still doing Ask a Curator Day. But not all my hashtags have anything to do with collections. Not in my mind, at least, because my role, I see it as to be a translator for the public. So the top right-hand corner one, right-hand corner to you guys, is socks. Socks that you wear on your feet. I was doing laundry one day, I was trying to think of a hashtag, and I thought, right, we're gonna do something with museum socks. And in my mind, I thought it was going to be about museums showing collections that had socks in it, or maybe a painting that had a sock in it. But what happened was the public started showing their socks when they were visiting the museum that day, right? Did not expect that, did not want it. I really thought it was a lighthearted one, but the public took it and ran with it. And then the museums responded to it. So again, museums kind of had to follow up in the end of it. And another fun one that I did, I love cake, hence the body. And that bottom right-hand one is a cake that somebody made for event. One of the hashtags I did was Muse Cake Day. Right, and I again thought the public were going to show me cakes in a cafe that they had, but no, the public surprised me and actually made 3D art out of cakes, which killed me when they showed me cutting it, but they did eat it. It is food, you have to eat it. But the whole premise is you can use technology in a fun way. It does not always have to be pushing marketing and PR. The number one thing that I do, I feel, is I listen, and I think all museums try to do this. They listen, they understand, but we fail at the acting. We gather all this data, we gather all this knowledge, but then we actually don't do anything that the public is actually interested in. So I think that's one of the most important sides that I have on this one. I also did something called Museum Selfie Day, and if you got involved in that, I really apologize, but it was one of these things where it was selfie was the word of the year. I felt right having a daughter who's in her teen. When she calls something cool or word of the year, they stop using it. So I said, let's do a museum selfie day as a goodbye to that hit word, a goodbye to that. This is all I said, to share a selfie. I didn't say anything else. It went world trending again. And people started doing their own things with it. People were going into museums that they never went into before just to take a selfie on that day. Now, I never said the selfie had to be taken on that day or how the selfie had to be taken, but the people and the public, and what was happening was museums who didn't allow photography were suddenly allowing photography. So policies and procedures are being changed off of a hashtag. because they recognized that because it was world trending and people were going to the museum that day and art galleries, they had to do something to change it. Now, the guy on the left is one of my favorite ones because that's Rocky Sylvester Stallone, and I'm from Philadelphia. So even my mom understood the concept of Museum Selfie Day after Rocky did it, right? So it's really, really cool to see that. There's a lot of stats that happen, but I don't follow stats. And the left one there is the director of the Boston Museum Fine Arts. Now, if I said to anybody 4 years ago that a director of the museum, Boston Museum of Fine Arts, would be taking a selfie, I would have laughed. I think everybody would have laughed at me. But directors and boards of trustees are now starting to see that these hashtags are a great way for them to get involved with what the public wants and how they want to get involved in it. And also how they want to take a selfie. I mean, technically, these two are not selfies. Trust me, I know there's a debate on it online about whether that's a selfie or not. I'm okay with it. They had fun, they took a picture, and they used a hashtag. That's all that matters. But not everybody likes selfies, and that's fine. So there's a lot of museums who don't want to have photographs in there, or there's a lot of the public do not want to have people standing in front, and they find it very obnoxious that people would dare stand in front of a picture with their back to the picture. How dare they do that? To me, they're standing in your museum. Shut up. Be happy that they're there. Be happy that they actually walked in and cared enough to make that memory, because that is their memory. That is how they're going to remember it. There's some stats, again, on Museum Selfie Day. I don't do stats, but apparently people like them, so I always throw this thing in there. Another thing that I work on is a project called Museum Week, which is actually a French initiative that I help with the hashtags on it. And the idea is for a whole week in March, one day, each day has a separate hashtag. And we balance it out between the museum and the public and what's expected of both of them. This year, we had over 2,000 museums sign up worldwide for this initiative, and we're already looking into 2016. But it's an initiative where, again, it is just a hashtag event, but it brings people to your museums and it gets them involved and interested in what you're doing. Really important that we look at trends. Now, I know a lot of people roll their eyes when I say that, and I kind of roll my eyes when I say it also, but trends are really, really important. Now, this doesn't mean looking at data. This means looking at what's going on around you and understanding what's going around you and what you can do to facilitate that conversation. So it could be something very specific within your community, or it could be something specific within our sector as a whole. I think it's also really important to see what people who aren't coming to your museums are doing to see if you can help bridge that gap. And we don't do enough of this. I think we do surveys a lot. We're great with our surveys in this sector, but we don't actually usually go back and do anything about it. The Internet of Things is one of the big trends that it's happening right now, and it sounds a lot scarier than it is. It is that thing of connecting everything to everything, so your phone can start your car, or your phone can turn on your energy and things like this. Now, the public is hearing about this on TV commercials now. They're hearing about this in the magazines that they're reading, but the museums aren't actually embracing it. And my biggest thing about museums is we waited so long to admit that these actually weren't going away. When these smartphones came out, we should have been hot on it. We should have been making apps. We should have been doing stuff about it. We waited almost 4 years before we actually go, oh, you know what, they're not going away. Maybe we should do something. And by the time we did something, all the other cool apps are already out there. I mean, I use this basically for Twitter, Facebook, and email, and FaceTime, right? I don't actually download museum apps, but museums, God bless you, still keep building apps, right? But who's actually downloading them, and what is the purpose of that? If we start looking at trends now, not that we have to hop on the board of all of them, but I think we need to be aware of what the public might be bringing in and what the public might enjoy to be able to interact with your stuff when they're in there. I do have Google Glass, and if anybody wants to use them, come up to me afterwards. You're more than welcome to use them. But Google Glass is one of those ones where version one, this version, is now dead. It's being remade, but it is being remade. So it's not dead, it's not going away. So you can't sit there and go, oh, that technology is not gonna happen. No, it is. It's just gonna be morph into something different. It's going to be something different, but wearable technology is not going away. If anything, it's getting stronger. And when you look at the figures, which is like 16.1 billion pounds or something per year being invested into it, it's not going away. The public is going to be wearing those smartwatches. Most of the public have Fitbits, right? So they're wearing wearable technology. They don't know it's wearable technology. They just know that their steps are being counted, and that's fine. But you ask them where their data is going, they have no idea, right? But that's okay, they don't need to know. But we as a sector should start looking into how we can start folding this into our conversations about what we're going to be doing in 2 or 3 years' time from now. Because again, this is stuff that the public is going to bring in, just like our phones. The public's going to be bringing in. We should be leading on this, not following. And we're still following at this point. There's also a massive trend that it has been annoying me for quite a while now, so I've been talking about it quite a lot lately. We have gone from a society that sees museums as a research tool and academia to one that wants to go and hear stories. We want to hear why that painting's hanging on the wall, or why that chandelier is over there, or what does that painting, why was that color painted there? All the facts we now have on our phone. We have Google. So we don't need certain information that is being provided, that museums and art galleries feel that they should provide. Actually, what we want is the stories behind it, not long dissertations. Do not have the curator write it, because they don't know how to do things short, right? But do something that's short, to the point, that engages me, that's going to say, you know what, I want to find out more about that. As a society, we have shifted to emotive. We are much more about how we want to get things, because the academia is on our phone right now. And museums are still catching up with that one. Museums still are trying to do the academia thing and see themselves as a research center, which you are, but unfortunately for you, the balance has shifted also. It's also really important when you're talking about trends to follow people. And I just have a couple of examples here. Cherie is the chief digital officer for the Met Museum in New York. He is fabulous. His background is actually journalism. So like me, he follows different sectors also, and he's always sharing, very approachable. That's his Twitter name. Tell him I said hi. And also there's conferences like Museum Next, which are always sharing about new technologies and new strategies that are coming out there, not just at their conference, but year round on their websites and everything. And also find local bloggers who share and who you can connect with, who might be able to say to you, you know, this is what we're actually thinking. Which, getting back to listen and understand and act, you've got to act on this stuff. You can't just gather the information. Really, I just said this already, but follow other sectors. Retail is fabulous to find out what's going on in technology, because they could do stuff that we can't do. Retail can do creepy stuff, right? They could track you and give you a 20% discount. Museums can't really do that without looking weird, right? But we can learn from what retail is doing and how they're dealing with it and what we can implement in it. Publishing is really good with technology and also social media on how to disperse this information, because they have the same situation as we do. Publishing has to get out a new book once a week. How do you keep saying to the same people over and over again, yay, new book? You know, we've got to do the same thing, like, yay, new exhibition. So look at publishing to see how you can reword things and jazz it up so it looks differently. And obviously, I'm going to say tech. You know, always look at the tech trends and see what's going there. But also look at those non-visitors. Find out why people are going to the amusement parks, or, you know, we are competing with Netflix. We are competing with the amusement parks and TV and everything else right now. So talk to those people and find out why they're not going. But most importantly, don't forget that although you work in the sector, you are the public also. So find out why your family's not going, unless you force them to. You know, find out what is going on internally in your own house also sometimes. And communities, I'm getting back to communities real quick because I know we're short for time. Building communities does not take a lot. For me, I do it through hashtags. But through those hashtags, more and more communities get built. Ask a Curator now has a massive community, which I set the date in the hashtag. But the people who get involved in it, the community who get involved in it, make it go world trending. I can't do that myself. Right? We went world trending for 8 hours this year. That's pretty impressive, especially when it's world trending, not just our own. A great example of listening to your community is the Science Museum in London had a mom who came in who said, I absolutely love your museum, but my son's autistic, and I can't come to your museum because it's too loud, too busy, and too noisy with all the machines. They thought about that, and they were like, well, we can't have this. So they actually started an early morning program for kids with autism. Right? So they shut off most of the machines. It's before the public opens, so it's nice and quiet for them. And they trained up staff to deal with autistic kids who can go around and enjoy the science museum. Now, the community that they built has been worldwide with autistic parents. Not just the ones in London. Worldwide, autistic parents are looking for this as a toolkit to do in other areas. So it's amazing how, what if you just listen to that one person in your community, the difference that can make into the bigger program of what you're doing. There's also another tour that I just seen at the Garage Museum in Moscow, who were doing stuff for their blinds because they recognized that locally they had people in their community who had these issues. So building up those communities is important. And my favorite slide ever is, and this is my philosophy in life, is it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. By the time we're done asking permission, it's already done and over with. So just do it as long as your heart is in the right place and you're doing it for the best of the collection and the museum and the mission statement, then just do it. And then get your hand smacked afterwards. I usually say it's the red hand syndrome. Let them smack me afterwards. But, you know, I have the advantage of not working in the sector so they can't fire me. It's a good advantage to have. And this is how I always end my slide, is the nation stays alive when this culture stays alive. And I think we have to keep remembering that on how we can keep the collections alive at all time. And that's it. I will take questions afterwards.
Yes, thank you. Okay.